Ezekiel 18, verse 20, it says, "The soul that sins dies." And then in Psalm 9, 17 says, verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God." So there's some warnings here. And here in Daniel 5, at the very beginning, it opens up with an orgy. It is filled with desecration, blasphemy, evil acts, and more than, we know more about that from history and from what they've found in digs and stuff like that, but it wouldn't really be proper to mention right here behind the pulpit. But it was really bad at the time. So here we have at chapter 5, we have this King Belshazzar, verse 1 here, made a great feast for thousands of his lords and drank wine in front of the thousands. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken to the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and the lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Verse 3, "Then they brought in the golden vessel that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. Well, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and bronze, iron, wood, and stone." So when you read that, the first question you kind of have is, it introduces a new character, Belshazzar. Not to be confused with Belshazzar, which was the name of Daniel's Babylonian name. But Belshazzar, who is he? Where did he come from? When did he live? When did he rule? And why did he call this feast? And what is going on here? So it's interesting to find that in 1881, there was a cylinder found called the Nabonidus cylinder. Okay, so this is an archaeological. So this is outside of the Bible. Stuff that proves that the Bible is true. So up until then, people thought that Nabonidus was the last ruler of Babylon. That was 556-539. So people thought that Belshazzar was a fictional character. But then they found this cylinder. Belshazzar was named as the son of Nabonidus. And there are other archaeological finds that mention him. But he was a co-ruler of the Babylonian with his father, Nabonidus. He died before Nabonidus, but is also why he offered Daniel the third rule later on, which we'll look at later as well. What scholars have found out is that 70 years have passed since Daniel was introduced in chapter 1. So Daniel is not a teenager anymore. He's about in his 80s by the time he hit chapter 5, which makes this about 23 years since chapter 4, which is what we learned last time, that Nebuchadnezzar was broken and humbled to recognize that there is one true God who is omniscient, sovereign, and omnipresent, and omnipotent. So a lot has happened between chapter 4 and chapter 5. For Nebuchadnezzar is dead after ruling for years. Although 7 years he was insanely an animal, and there was, and here in Daniel it doesn't record anything in between. So Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, so history fills in and gives us a record of it. So after Nebuchadnezzar dies, the empire starts to decline. His son Amel-Merodach took over after him. He reigns for 2 years because he was assassinated. He was mentioned in 2 Kings, verse 25, or chapter 25, as evil Merodach. He is also mentioned in Jeremiah, chapter 52. So there is a biblical account for this king. But he was killed by his own brother-in-law, who was named Nergal-Sharezer, who ruled for 4 years. He is mentioned in Jeremiah 39 under the name of Nergal-Sharezer. He was an official under Nebuchadnezzar, who was an instrument in releasing Jeremiah from prison. After 4 years, Nergal-Sharezer's son reigned for 9 months and was a child. His name was Labashar-Marduk. He was beaten to death by conspirators. and one of the conspirators was Nabonidus, who reigned for 17 years. And he was finally defeated by Cyrus, who was the leader of the Medes and the Persians. What is also known is that Nabonidus was not a bloodline of Nebuchadnezzar. So what is believed is that he married the widow of Nebuchadnezzar or one of his daughters. So we would so he would have adopted this Belshazzar as a son, so he would be in that lineage of Nebuchadnezzar. Nabonidus moved to a palace in an area known as Tema in the middle of Arabia, which was across the desert that would take days, even weeks, to cross, making it a long and hard journey to Babylon. So 14 out of his 17-year rule, he wasn't even in Babylon. But to hold on to his power in Babylon, he appointed Belshazzar the position of co-ruler or co-king, and Belshazzar occupied the throne in Babylon. So Nabonidus overall was not a bad king. Other than worshiping false gods, he was a peaceful, religious man. He was not murderous. For the most part, other than killing for power, he rebuilt temples to his gods. He came from a priestly lineage, not known as an evil king or evil man. But Cyrus, the king of the Medes and Persians, was taking over the world, and they were actually combing the countryside, and he met Nabonidus' army outside and basically took over the city of Babylon, or not even the city of Babylon until later. But Cyrus destroyed the forces of Nabonidus and took Nabonidus as a captive. So he's still alive, but he's in captivity. So he's still king. So this took place in a town around 50 miles outside of Babylon in the city called Borsippa. Nabonidus was exiled to a place called Carmania until he died, so he never saw Babylon again. Now, this all happened when we begin chapter 5. Nabonidus has been defeated, captured, and now the Medes and the Persians are around the entire city of Babylon, and they're already attacking the outside walls and stuff. So here we have Belshazzar in Babylon, and all around him is the Medes and the Persians trying to take over the city of Babylon. So we have this whole battle going on. And Belshazzar wants to have a party. He has a great feast before thousands of his lords and drank before them. Then it says, in verse 2 says, then he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and the silver of Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had been taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. He brought, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So, not sure if Belshazzar was actually the son of Nebuchadnezzar, right? You know, he's the son of Nabonidus, or stepson anyways.